Welcome. We're so glad you're here. We have a great meeting planned. Thankful for your presence and just your desire to be here, collaborate, work with us, and support the ad. I'm Mike Sanford. I'm your chair for the past year. I'll be passing that baton tonight. It's been a great year. Before we get started, I've got quite a list of guests that I would like to recognize. If you wouldn't mind to just stand, give us a wave or something like that, that would be much appreciated. I'll start with our sponsor, Walter Gay and Mack. In attendance tonight with the firm, we have Steve Barnes, John Gay, Erica Mack, and John Wood. Thank you all. We appreciate you a bunch. From U.S. Representative Andy Barr's office, we have Tatum Dale. Mackenzie Poe. Craig Shockley. From U.S. Representative James Comer's office, we have Mary Carter Barton. From U.S. Senator McConnell's office, we have Haley Tipton. We have a handful of state elected officials, Representative Chad All. Representative Daniel Pfister. Senator Greg Elkins. Senator Matt Nunn. We also have Judge William Monahan. We also have folks from other area development districts with us tonight. Lance Hanshaw from Five Co Area Development District. From the Barron River Area Development District, we have Eric Sexton. From the Green River Area Development District, we have Joanna Shake. From the Department of Local Government, we have Joe Williams. And from the Kentucky Council of Ads, we have Casey Ellis and Molly Haynes. Okay, I'd like to introduce our speaker for the night. We're very excited about this, and the speaker is not your average priest. He's part preacher, part storyteller, and he's 100% heart for sure. He's raised hundreds of thousands for those in need, partnered with everyone from Delta Airlines to Kentucky bourbon makers, and has even received appointment from Pope Francis and Pope Leo. Definitely get ready to laugh and be moved, maybe even challenged, if you'll join me in welcoming Father Jim Sitchko.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
Get out of your way.
Oh, it's good. First of all, I just want to say what a pleasure to be. Who was it that said grace today? Outstanding. Let me tell you what. Our church could use you. I'm just letting you know right now. I put your name in. I've already emailed Pope Francis, so I'm just letting you. Yeah. So anyway, it is an honor and a pleasure to be with you all. You know, today is a very special day for me because it was 9 years ago today that I was sitting in my office on Main Street at St. Mark Catholic Church. And 9 years ago today, my secretary came running in white as a ghost. I mean, she was pale and she was screaming and she was like, Father Jim, pick up the phone. And I was like, why do I want to pick up the phone? She said, you have a phone call. And I'm like, well, duh. Who is it? And she said, Pope Francis is on the phone. Now, you got to understand something. I had been pastor at that time at St. Mark for 11 and a half years. And my staff loved playing practical jokes on me. And what they would do is they would secretly film my response to these jokes and then play them back during parish fish fries in Lent. And I was kind of over it. I really was. I was tired of it. So I decided, you know what, I would just play along. And so I picked up the phone knowing it was a joke, knowing I was being recorded. And so I picked up the phone and I went, yo, what's up? And it was Pope Francis. And I was so stunned that I hung up on him. No joke. And he called me back and he informed me that he had named me one of 100 priests in the United States, one of 700 priests in the world, to be his personal papal missionary of mercy. In other words, to go out into the world and be an agent of mercy. Well, thank you. But what was very interesting was that he flew us to Rome, all 700 of us. And none of us knew one another. And what we didn't know is that four priests would be selected to live with Pope Francis. And Pope Francis kind of was different. He did not want to live in the apostolic palace. Instead, he wanted to live in communal living, in a dormitory, no different than a dormitory here on EKU campus. And so four priests, what they did was they literally just pulled out of the hat four names, and my name got chosen. And the reason, all for the wrong reason, I was so ecstatic about it was because if you follow me on social media, you know one of the things that I love to do, and I've already done it here, is I love taking selfies. I love it. And there have been 266 popes in the history of the Catholic Church. And I had never, ever, ever seen a selfie of any of them. So I wanted to make Kentucky famous. Seriously, it's very self-centered, and I realize that, and very egotistical. But I wanted a selfie for the history book. And I remember the day I moved in 9 years ago. They had us sign paperwork when we moved in, the four priests. It was in Latin. I don't read Latin. I do just like many of you. You just sign on the dotted line. You don't read all of the print. And I signed on the dotted line, and there was another priest next to me who was a canon lawyer, and he said, "Don't you think we should read what we're signing?" And I said, what are we signing? So I asked them, I said, "What are we signing?" And they said, "You're signing that you agree that you can take no pictures in this residence because it's the Holy Father's residence, and your phone must always be turned off." I was devastated. I didn't want to live there. Pope Francis lived in 201. I live presently still in 211. And 3 days later, it was time for me to begin the mission. And I was walking down the hallway at 4:30 in the morning to catch a flight to begin traveling throughout the world. And here came Pope Francis at 4:30 in the morning. What people don't know is that every morning, even in his infirmity, even on the day of his death, he would go down to the chapel for 4 hours straight in silent prayer from 4:30 to 8:30. And we met at the elevator and he looked at me. And the first words out of his mouth was he looked at me and he said, "United States." And I said, "That's me." I said, "I'm from Kentucky." And he looked at me, and he just smiled. And he said to me, and he wore this cheap black watch, and he said to me, Dove, where are you going this early? And I said, Pope Francis, I'm going out to preach. I'm going out to be your missionary. And people, he grabbed me. I'll never forget. He grabbed me by both arms and kind of looking straight through my soul, he said, pray for me. And I was like, what? And he simply said, pray for me. And then he did something 9 years ago that I will literally take to my grave. If you've ever seen a picture of the Pope, regardless of your faith tradition, he wears this white little beanie on his head. It's called a zucchetto, Z-U-C-H-E-T-T-O. 9 years ago today, the Pope took that zucchetto off and he gave it to me. But listen to the prophetic words when he gave me this. He said, you take this wherever you go, and you remind all people that God is with them. That God will never abandon his people, and that God's mercy is always theirs. And then he pushed the down button to the elevator. And literally, he and I, just the two of us, at 4:35 in the morning, got in the elevator. He pushed the down button. And the elevator at the Domus started to go down. And I kind of just looked up for any security cameras. And I was like, do I do it? Do I do it or do I not? And I looked at Pope Francis and I said, Pope Francis. And he said, yes. I said, can I have a selfie? And there it is. Here is selfie number one. There we are. There we are. You can see he doesn't have his zucchetto on. It's 4:30 in the morning. And then just in January, here's the second one. This is selfie number 56. This was taken 3 days before he went into the hospital, before he died. And that was just an amazing time together. And so what I thought was, I thought that today I would share, you know, I came back to the United States and my bishop called me in and my bishop said to me, Father, how would you like to travel the world as a full-time papal missionary and a full-time evangelist? And I said, I'll do it with one exception, that I live as close to the disciples as possible. In other words, in the last 9 years, I've taken no salary, no living expense. I have no insurance, no food allowance. I literally have one little suitcase, a carry-on. I have my clerics, and then my sandals, my shorts, and my hoodie. And I travel 300 days a year across the world, preaching the good news and just doing random acts of kindness. This morning, I was in Los Angeles. Tomorrow, I'm in Seattle. From Seattle, I'll then go to Karachi, Pakistan. From Karachi, Pakistan, I'll go to Canada. In fact, landing here today, I hit my 4 million mile mark on Delta Airlines. And so I thought today I would share one experience of what it means for me, and hopefully for you, to be a missionary. Because the work that you do is good work. The work that you do is vital work. Every one of us in this room is called. And we've got to be able to recognize that. I brought a present, but I'm going to save that for a moment because I didn't think it was good of me to bring a gift without explaining as a gift giver. I had the great opportunity to speak in a rural town in Texas. I was sharing at my table. I'm a city boy. I did my undergraduate work at New England Conservatory of Music. I went to the Juilliard School, was on Broadway for a while. And then 27 years now, I've been a priest. The past 9 as a papal missionary. And so I was in a very rural part of Texas. The church was literally a fourth of this room. And so I went to the church. They asked me to come and preach. All of my speaking engagements are by word of mouth. None of them are assigned. And so I went and I preached at this church, and the pastor got COVID. And he asked me, could I stay for 3 days? And I said, I can stay for 3 days, but then I have to leave because I'm due to be in Orlando. And he said, just realize that these people are country people. They're farmers. They're not going to need much from you. I said, well, good, because all I have are my sandals, my shorts, and my hoodie. That day at Mass, there were 9 children in front and a husband and a wife. They were all, everyone was in blue jeans and cowboy boots and belt buckles. Never seen anything like that in church in my life. And that night, I went to sleep and I was awoken at 7 a.m. the next morning. 7 a.m. And it was a frantic call from the secretary at the church. Father Jim, Father Jim, you need to get out to the Uses farm. You need to get out to the Uses farm. I'm like, who are the Uses? They're people at our church. They sit in the front row. You need to get out there. There's been an emergency. And she hangs up the phone. So I just type in Uses farm, you know, and I put on my shorts, my sandals, my hoodie. I get in the car and a volunteer fire truck passes me. And you know what I did? I just followed the volunteer fire truck, praying to God that we were going to the right place. Let me tell you something. I don't know how many of you are farmers or whatever, but you don't wear sandals out into a farm. No, I'm serious. I was running with the volunteer firefighters, jumping over stuff. I didn't even know what I was jumping over. And let me tell you something. These animals are huge. And they're not stupid. I mean, they looked at me. If they had bubbles over their head, it was simply saying, you don't belong here. Yeah. And when I got out there, I found those 9 children who were sitting in front in blue jeans, and I found the wife, and I found their father, her husband, 50 years old, dead, in the middle of the pasture. And I went back to the farmhouse, and I did something that was taught to me by Pope Francis and my own bishop here in Lexington, Bishop John Stowe. And that is this. There's something called ministry of presence over ministry of words. You can talk all you want. There's another thing about living what you speak. You see, our job, to be honest with you, every one of us, is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. That is not our business. And in fact, it's nobody's business. What we are all asked to do is to love. And that love in itself will render both of ourselves and our neighbors worthy. And so I just sat there, didn't say a word. I watched the farming community come in and out, in and out, in and out all day. Finally, the mother, the widow, came to me at 50 years old, and she said to me, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm just here for another day. I have to leave. I'm a missionary." And she said to me, "Well, would you bury my husband?" I said, "It has to be tomorrow because I'm leaving." And she said, "We'll do it tomorrow." Oh my gosh, you should have seen the farmers that came in. Right before the service, the mass was to begin, I heard the two youngest of the nine children say, What are we going to do? Dad was supposed to take us to auction this weekend." They're part of an organization called FFA. Have you ever heard of them? These people are interesting. No, they are. Do you know what they do? They raise their pets and then they sell them. And I'm like, you know, this is crazy. No, I'm serious. I'm like looking at the, you know. So anyway, and they wear all this denim and everything. So that stuck with me, and I flew to Orlando. One of the things you have to know is you have to know the voice of God in your life. You see, if you listen to your voice, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to end up in disaster. If you listen to God's voice and know the sound of God's voice in your life, you're going to end up in blessing and grace and abundance. Trust me, when you listen to your voice, you're going to end up in disaster. So anyway, I'm on the airplane, Delta, and I hear the voice of God saying, "What are you going to do for those children?" I said, now I speak very bluntly with God because God already knows what I'm thinking. I said, "I'm not doing anything." I said, "I am not a farmer. I don't know about this FFA group, and I'm not dealing with them. So God, you can choose someone else because I'm off into Orlando." "Okay, you'll do something." I'm like, "No, we're not doing nothing." Next morning, during my morning prayer that I do every morning at 4:30 in the morning, God said, "Have you come up with anything?" I said, "Lord, I've made it very clear." "No, I have. I made it very clear that I'm not getting involved in this situation. I am a city boy from the city, and I'm still having difficulty with this whatever organization is selling their pets. I have a bloodhound, okay? I have a bloodhound. I'm very sensitive to pets, okay?" God said, "I know you'll do it, so you can either do it now or I'm just going to keep bugging you." So I called FFA in Austin, Texas. I said, "Hi, my name is Father Jim. I'm a papal missionary of mercy for Pope." "Are you the priest that did the service yesterday?" I said, "Were you the people in the denim jacket at the mass?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "How can I help this family out?" I said, "They have two kids. Well, actually, they have nine, but the other two are going to sell their pets at this auction." And I said, "You know, what do you do?" They said, "Why don't you come and be our guest at the auction?" I said, "No, I'm not coming to be your guest at no auction." I said, "I'm speaking in Orlando." They said, "Well, would you be willing to participate in the auction?" I said, "I have never participated in an auction before." They said, "Well, you could just help raise the price." I said, "Well, fine. Here's my phone number, 859-3. Oh, I'm not giving that to you. But anyway, so I gave them my phone number. They called me Saturday morning. This is what they sent me. They sent me that picture right there. And they said, "Father, here we go." I said, "What are we doing?" And this is what I hear. I said, what are we doing? What are we doing? Someone let me know. They said, Father, we're at 3 cents. I said, 3 cents? I said, do you understand that this family has just lost their father? 9 children total? And you're telling me that this is all these people can afford at Houston Livestock Rodeo? I said, $5, $5. And there was silence. And I heard on the line, sold for $5. I was like, fine. So then they sent me this picture. That's the second child. And they started again. I said, just stop it. $10. Sold. $10. Fine. I wrote them. My bishop gives me 4 checks a year. And I wrote 2 checks to FFA in Austin, Texas. One for $5. One for $10. I mean, FFA, look, they're calling me. We are so grateful for you. I'm like, please leave me alone, all right? I did what you needed. They said, we will waive the processing fee. I'm like, what are you processing? I mean, put one in my sister's backyard in Houston and put the other one, please, in, give it back to the family and tell them not to sell their pets. A month later, I'll just be very honest with you. There are 2 types of people that really have a hard time with me. Okay, I'm just being very honest with you. They are accountants and CFOs. Okay? Let me just tell you something. I'm just saying, in my life, I give everything away. All right? I give everything away. I was just at the Marriott this morning in Los Angeles. Several of you will get towels from me for Christmas, all right? I'm just being honest with you, okay? Others of you will get safety cards from the 737 I was on, all right? I take everything. I've already taken a couple plates. They're in there. You know? So my bishop, who is a Franciscan, who also, what that means is, for those of you who don't know, that the Franciscan community works with the poor and the marginalized, the sick and the infirm. He called me up. He said, Father Jim? I said, yes, Bishop. He said, I have the diocesan CFO on the phone with me. You know, I'm like, oh, great. Hey. The bishop says, Father, did you buy any steers recently? I said, well, how did you know that? I said, I did. I bought 2 steers. I said, I bought one for $5 and one for $10. And the CFO came on and she said, who told you they were $5 and $10? I said, the auctioneer told me. And I said, and just to let you know, I made copies of the check and I have them with me. And the bishop said, Father, that was $5 a pound and $10 a pound. And I said, well, how much do they weigh? And the CFO came on and said, well, hold on 1 second, just so I can get this right. The CEO came on and she said, the first one weighed 1,275 pounds and the second one weighed 1,250 pounds and you owe the Diocese of Lexington $20,000. And she said, and I quote, and we expect the money by Friday. And the bishop, knowing the issues I constantly get myself in. Said, now let's calm down, because we know this isn't Father Jim's first rodeo, okay? We know that God always provides when you trust. You see, my brothers and sisters, it's really interesting. People would rather debate doctrine or beliefs or traditions or interpretations than just actually do what Jesus said. It's not rocket science. Just go and do it. Practice loving a difficult person. You know, try forgiving someone. Give away some money. Say thank you. Encourage a friend. Bless an enemy. Say I'm sorry. Just worship. You know? So I just went that night and I put this post, I didn't give it to you all, I put this post on my social media. I said, well, I've done some crazy papal missionary ministry, but this was a new one for me. Last month, I buried the father of these two children, 9 children total. Today, I find out I purchased each of their steers at auction. The first steer at $5 a pound, weighing 1,275 pounds, and the second one at $10 a pound, weighing 1,250 pounds. God will provide. Yeah. That night I got a phone call. Not from someone on social media. I got a call from a man named Ed Bastian. Anyone in the room know Ed Bastian? If you do, raise your hand. Who? That's exactly right. You win. This is for you.
I'm not telling you what it is.
Ed Bastian is the CEO of the world's largest airlines, Delta Airlines, that I fly every day. As I told you, flying here today, I hit my 4 million mile mark. Ed Bastian called me because every time I'm on an airplane, like I was today, I hand out Starbucks gift cards to all the flight attendants and all the pilots. In my 4 million miles, I have never missed an opportunity. And why do I do that? Because I put my life in their hands, as we saw yesterday. I put my life in their hands, and they helped me get to where I'm called to be, just like today. They flew me here today so I could speak with you, and tomorrow they're flying me to Seattle. And he called me to say, Father, I just wanted to call you and thank you for taking care of my 80,000 employees. Do you realize, Father, every time you get on an airplane, they take a selfie with you, they send it to me? They send it to all of our inbox and everything. And I was just calling to say, thank you very much. And I just want you to know that we appreciate you as a loyal Delta flyer. I hope you have a good night. And just as he was about to hang up the phone, he said, and Father, if Delta Airlines can ever do anything for you, you just let us know. I said, Mr. Bastian? And he said, yes. I said, I need $20,000. And do you know that night, he wired the money to the Diocese of Lexington that night. Then he flew the 9 children and the wife, met them in Atlanta, flew from Atlanta to Lexington, with 2,000 pounds of processed beef, met the Bishop of Lexington and myself, Ryan Quarles, the Department of Agriculture at that time, and then we went holler to holler in eastern Kentucky, handing out over 2,000 pounds of beef. And, hold on one second, thank you, and Delta Airlines has pledged me $1 million to continue to do the work that I do. And that's how I'm able to pay for the funeral of Jaden Spicer. That's how I'm able to feed the homeless. That's how tomorrow I'm taking food to the TSA agents. Ministry of Presence. As I close here today, I close with a grateful heart for you, for your ministry of presence here and your ministry of presence throughout the state and the Commonwealth. You are doing great work. And never, ever, ever forget that. We will never, ever be like this again. Ever. Take the opportunity. Take the time. Right before I leave here, because I do have to get going, I want you to know that in that box is a $1,226 bottle of bourbon that was just released yesterday in the third of a series of papal Willet. It is a Weeder Willet. It is the oldest Weeder Willet that Mr. Bastian and I sampled along with Drew Kolfstein, and the proceeds from the sales of those bottles are going to help Trooper Island and the Disabled Jockey Fund. Why? Because in giving, you always receive. If you don't mind, I'd like to take a selfie, and then I'm headed out. Have a great night. God bless you all.
Thank you, Father. Wow, that was totally awesome. Thank you, Father Jim. Kelly, definitely the best speaker we've ever had, without a doubt. That was fantastic. That was awesome. Let me extend my thanks and welcome to our annual meeting to you as well tonight. I already feel uplifted, and I'm kind of at a loss for words having to follow that. I do want to thank Walter G. Mack again for sponsoring our reception. We appreciate it very much. Also want to thank Kelly for putting this all together. I mean, you all have no idea. Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, the level of detail that she goes through and the amount of time that she spent to pull this off. This is the largest annual meeting that the Bluegrass Ad has ever had. 186 people here tonight, all coming here because you all believe in collaboration, you believe in working together, and you believe in ministry, like Father Jim just told us, and we're all going to be a part of that. We often struggle for a title for Kelly, and I think the best title I could ever give her is that she's just the person who makes things better. That's it. Bottom line, she just makes things better for all of us. So thank you, Kelly. In 2023, we changed the Bluegrass Ad bylaws to improve our governance. This was done with a focus on optimizing how we meet our mission of enhancing the economies of our local governments through development of planning to maximize resources, projects to promote development, and programs to improve the quality of life of the citizens of the Bluegrass region. These are what we refer to as the three P's, and they are the three pillars on which we stand. On your table before you is a copy of our annual report. I encourage you to take this home with you and share it with members of your community. Share it with your city council members, your fiscal court members, the industry leaders in your communities, your school boards, the people you go to church with, anywhere that you can find pockets of influence within your community. I want you to share what you know about the Bluegrass ad. And I want you to share that information for selfish reasons, because these community leaders, these people who have the most influence, who have the most standing, those are the people who I want you to recruit and participate in the three P's that we offer, so that each of you can continue to make our communities just 1% better in everything we do on a daily basis. The annual report shows you the demographics of the people that we serve. It points to our strengths and demonstrates that we are a vibrant region growing with a population that now surpasses 836,000. It shows that we have a very favorable age range distribution with more than enough active workers to replace those who are retiring and more than enough youth to one day replace those in the early to mid-range of their careers. But there are also concerns. We have a per capita income that is growing slower than inflation. We have a median household income that is insufficient to reach the goal of first-time home ownership. We have a low unemployment rate, but we have a labor participation rate of only 63%. We are an organization that is fiscally responsible for a $53 million budget. Those funds are leveraged into the administration of $191 million of infrastructure projects, 7,827 aging or people with disabilities served, resulting in tangible results such as 185,293 home-delivered meals served. Your Workforce Services Department partnered with 739 employers to serve over 9,000 job seekers, which you can read about, with success stories like those of John Costella and Brandy Baxter, which you can read about on page 17. And all of these efforts took place in your communities, as represented in the photos now displayed in the boardroom of our office at 699 Perimeter Drive, and as shown on pages 18 to 21 of your annual report. This year in the annual report, I ask that we pause to reflect on what we mean when we use the term economy. When we state in our mission statement that we want to enhance the economy of our communities, I believe that we are not simply referring to the growth of wealth throughout the Bluegrass region, although financial well-being achieved through the application of our skills and services is a right that we want everyone to have, and it's a goal that we want everyone to achieve. But more broadly, I believe that we use the word economy to refer to the organization or a regulation of the parts of a system defined as thriving communities where we live and work together. Or, if you want to dive deeper, perhaps somewhat theologically, you may define economy as a divine plan for humanity from creation through redemption to beatitude. I recognize that the concept of achieving beatitude is an aspirational desire to what we might be able to do in our work as a regional council of government. So let's shift the focus of our attention to how we do it and why we are here tonight. Tonight is about recognizing our new governance and celebrating those individuals who contributed to our success. I like to describe our governance as a grassroots movement that operates at the committee level to review, deliberate, and recommend to our executive committee on how they should allocate resources that will drive our region forward to a better economy. I would like to divide our recognition into three parts tonight. First, I'd like to recognize our Bluegrass Ad Employees of the Quarter and Employee of the Year. Then I will recognize our committee champions and our committee staff leads will come to your table to present you with a token of our appreciation. Finally, I will ask each of your department heads to come to the podium to recognize their organization champions and offer those champions a moment to say a few words. Since 2013, we have recognized Bluegrass Ad employees with Character First Awards. We use this opportunity to promote one of 49 character qualities that we consider essential to public service. This year, your employee of the quarters were Tab Patterson for demonstrating orderliness defined as arranging myself and my surroundings to achieve greater efficiency. Ellie Wellman for demonstrating, where's Ellie? I know Tab's in back there. Ellie's over here. Ellie Wellman for demonstrating enthusiasm defined as expressing joy in each task as I give it my best effort. Sarah Elbridge was our Q3 quarter of the employee. Sarah, I think, is over here. She demonstrated virtue defined as the moral excellence evident in my life as I consistently do what is right. And finally, Q4, we recognize, where's Brianna? Brianna Friedman? She's not here. For demonstrating availability defined as making my own schedule and priorities secondary to the wishes of those I serve. The work and regional contributions of these four employees was then carefully considered by the department heads, and it was unanimously agreed that your 2025 Bluegrass Ad Employee of the Year is Brianna Friedman. Brianna serves, give her a round of applause. Brianna serves as a participant-directed services lead for the aging department. This program serves 580 homebound elders and veterans, allowing them to stay in their homes, which improves their quality of life and saves the state and federal government millions of dollars in Medicaid funds. Brianna Friedman is described by her coworkers as a true servant leader, and she was selected for demonstrating the character-first trait of dependability, defined as fulfilling what I consented to do, even if it means unexpected sacrifices. Our grassroots work is accomplished through 10 advisory committees and councils. These groups meet bimonthly or quarterly to discuss the regional implication of everyday public policies that affect our lives. They serve as volunteers, and their work helps decide the prioritization of projects that receive the attention of our legislators. Their work informs the allocation of resources that is decided by the executive committee, and tonight we would like to recognize the long-standing effort provided by some of their leaders. These committees and councils are led by an elected official, except for the workforce, which is led by a private sector leader, and are staffed by Bluegrass Ad employees. In this slide, I would like to recognize Judge Steve Hamilton and Celeste Collins for their leadership in the Area Agency on Aging and Independent Living, Judge Woods Adams and Casey Cash for their leadership in the Area Water Management Council, Judge Reagan Taylor and David West, who co-lead the Bluegrass Economic Development Council, with Jacob Marsh providing the staff support, Judge Eddie Barnes and Michael Murphy for their leadership in the Emergency Preparedness Committee, Judge Jason Marshall and Amy Soner for their leadership in the Natural Resources and Environmental Protection Committee, Mayor Alex Carter and Lyndon Smith for their leadership in regional planning, Mayor James Atkins and David Gambrill for their leadership in regional transportation, Judge Sarah Still and Grace Reagan for their leadership in Tourism, Historic Preservation, and Recreation Advisory Committee, and Mr. John Daugherty and Tiffany Reeves for their work on the Workforce Board. The staff leads for these committees will now present a token of our appreciation to their committee or council's 2025 champion. And so I'll begin at the top with the Aging Advisory Council. So if Celeste, I think she's presenting this as we go. So we are recognizing Betty Edwards tonight. Ms. Edwards has served on the Bluegrass Aging Advisory Council since 2014. Ms. Edwards is also an active member of the Bourbon County Senior Center. She has been the secretary of the center's advisory council for 15 years. She and her homemaker club provide a birthday cake each month to the center to celebrate all the seniors' birthdays. She takes care of the plants and the flowers around the center, as well as provides seasonal decorations. She provides programming to the center once per month. She has organized a Veterans Day program for the center. She volunteers to answer phones and helps in the center when needed. She is a dedicated member of the Bourbon County Center, as well as a representative of Bourbon County for the Bluegrass Ad Aging Advisory Council. Let's give a round of applause to Ms. Betty Edwards. Next up is our recognition of the Area Water Management Council. Tonight we'd like to recognize Charlie Martin. Charlie is the director of the Division of Water Quality for Lexington-Fayette Urban County Government. He's a senior leader and an active member of the Area Water Management Council, providing industry insight and expertise. While always supporting the communities in Lexington, Charlie has provided help to the surrounding communities of the Bluegrass region and ensured participation in the Area Water Management Council. Charlie went out of his way this year when we conducted system visits to give a personal behind-the-scenes tour of the Town Branch Treatment Plant to two of the Bluegrass Ad staff. Charlie, we appreciate your help and your support. Let's give him a round of applause. Next, we'd like to recognize the Community Resilience and Public Health Council champion, Charlie Kendall. Charlie has led the Franklin County ASAP board over the past several years in the development of a comprehensive recovery ecosystem in Franklin County. Charlie exemplifies leadership in teaching others to embrace good stewardship of public programs and developing collaborative framework for solving complex challenges. Under Charlie's guidance, Franklin County has become an example to the state in how nonprofits, local government, and public programs can create sustainable and systematic change. Thank you, Charlie, for your support, and let's give him a round of applause. Next, I'd like to recognize the Economic Development Advisory Committee champions, or co-champions, MWM Consulting, consisting of Lucas Witt and Elizabeth Carter. MWM Consulting has been an exceptional partner to the Bluegrass Ad, and I know they serve also in many of your communities, addressing the economic repercussions from the shutdown of the Bluegrass Chemical Advisory Board for the demilitarization operations at the Bluegrass Depot. They also provide valuable economic development and consulting services to numerous communities throughout the region. Please help me recognize MWM for their support. Next up is the Emergency Preparedness Advisory Committee. We would like to recognize Esther White. Esther is a vital asset to the communities across the Bluegrass region. She plays an essential role and assuring that FEMA funding is accessible and effectively guides these communities through the grants management process. Her expertise makes many projects feasible that otherwise wouldn't be possible. Thank you, Esther, for your support. Next up is the Natural Resource and Environmental Protection Advisory Council, and we'd like to recognize Shonda Cecil tonight. Shonda has been an active and dedicated member of the Natural Resource and Environmental Protection Advisory Committee, representing the City of Winchester with distinction. She played a key role in shaping the committee's invasive species initiative and was instrumental in the city's passage of a resolution banning the sale of Callery pear trees and their cultivars. Shonda consistently contributes innovative ideas, participates fully in meetings, and helps recruit new members to strengthen the committee's work. Her leadership, collaboration, and commitment make her an invaluable asset to both the committee and the region. Thank you, Shonda. Next, we'd like to recognize the Regional Planning Council. Would like to recognize Pete Beatty. Pete Beatty is receiving the Regional Planning Council Champion Award in recognition of his longstanding commitment to regional collaboration and sound planning policies and practices in Jessamine County and the broader Bluegrass region. His leadership has helped bridge local and regional planning efforts, making him a standout figure in Kentucky's planning community. Thank you, Pete Beatty. Next, we'd like to recognize the Regional Transportation Committee champion, which is Mayor James Atkins. In his 2 years as chairman of the Regional Transportation Committee, Mayor James Atkins has increased the participation and the RTC. This committee has expanded to include additional stakeholders in multiple transportation sectors. The highlight of his service came in August with the completion of the Strategic Highway Investment Formula for Tomorrow, also known as SHIFT, process. The Regional Transportation Committee was able to boost over $458 million in road projects in the 15 Bluegrass Ag counties that are outside of the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Give a round of applause to Mayor Atkins for his help. Next, the Tourism, Historic Preservation, and Recreation Advisory Committee would like to recognize Jill Hamlin. Jill is receiving the THRAC Committee Award Champion in recognition for her transformative leadership and passionate advocacy for Winchester and Clark County's cultural and tourism sectors. As the Executive Director of the Winchester-Clark County Tourism Commission, her efforts have not only boosted tourism, but has also contributed to the economic development and community pride, making her a standout figure in Kentucky's tourism landscape. Let's recognize Jill. And finally, our last committee champion is the Workforce Innovation Champion, Aaron Tipton. Aaron Tipton and her team with BCTC Workforce Solutions exemplify extraordinary collaboration with the Kentucky Career Center, fostering innovative workforce partnerships throughout the Bluegrass region. This partnership has brought valuable training opportunities to counties like Estill, Lincoln, and Garrett, expanding the reach of services and creating greater access to career pathways. Their commitment continues to drive personal success, regional growth, and community-centered workforce innovation. Let's give a round of applause to Aaron. Now we have our organizational champions to recognize, and I would like to start by calling Celeste, and then after Celeste will be Logan and Tiff. And if you'd like, you can bring your champion with you. You can talk about them and then give them a chance to speak. So, Celeste, you get to go first.
Thank you, David. I think this needs to come down a little. Gail Reese has been an advocate for elder services and programming in the Bluegrass region for over 15 years. And actually tonight we discussed that and it's probably closer to 20. She's the epitome of an individual with an advocate's heart. Several years ago, she came to our office and had one question. Her question was, is there an unmet need that could help better support older adults and what can I do to help? After that meeting, she began researching transportation programs and took it upon herself to bring to Kentucky the Independent Transportation Network, dubbed ITN Bluegrass, into Lexington. This was not a simple endeavor. It required revised legislation for Kentucky to permit a volunteer transportation system, as well as startup funding. Gail led the charge in accomplishing both of these huge tasks. ITN is a nationally recognized transportation system which supports drivers who volunteer their time, then gift their hours to seniors for free rides. ITN Bluegrass has become a staple in the Fayette County area. Through her networking and development of the ITN Bluegrass, Mrs. Reese realized there was also a need to get bulk resource information to individuals as they age and people who find themselves in the role of caregiving for a loved one. She developed the I Know Expo, which was a free resource fair that was held annually in Lexington for several years. Anyone could attend this event, which included workshops throughout the day on topics such as how to access my Social Security benefits, how to apply for Medicare, what is a trust, what is a living will, what is a power of attorney, as well as numerous agencies with booths providing free information on their agencies and programs. Hundreds of people in the Bluegrass region attended this event each year. In her spare time, when she's not creating and developing new programs and events, she actively supports several groups and initiatives at the Lexington Senior Center. She was instrumental in the certification process for the age-friendly and dementia-friendly community in Lexington. She's a member of the Friends of the Senior Center, a group that plans events and fundraisers for the center. She's the chair of Reimagining Home Group, which is a housing-focused subcommittee of the Senior Services Commission. She also served for several years as chair of the LFUCG Senior Services Commission, and the list of her support and accomplishments continues to grow. Mrs. Gail Reese is a true champion for aging. We're honored to award her as the Bluegrass Aging Champion of 2025.
I'm exhausted. Oh, I did not know that you found and listed all those things. I've got to say that it was 20 years ago. I had been an educator. I'd lived out of state. I had been in private business for 20 years. But all of a sudden, I had the opportunity to give a God-given passion, and that was how to help seniors. And it was, as Father Mike said earlier, it feels like a mission. But I didn't know anything about social services. I'd never taken anything, and I didn't know anything about government. So I didn't know anything. And I went to, as Celeste said, I didn't know you remembered. I came to the Area Agency on Aging and said, you know, what do we do here? So thank you to them and the people at their staff in the city. They've educated me through all these years. You've supported me. You've encouraged me. And I'm just the tip of hundreds of volunteers and employees through the Area Agency on Aging and Independent Living that help thousands of Kentuckians. And you are the heroes. You just lift people up to do what they can do. So it's an honor to help you in any way we can. Thank you. And now I am a senior, so I'm working for myself.
Good evening, everyone. Partnership is a cornerstone of the Bluegrass Ads mission. Our work is never accomplished alone. We were established to serve as a vital link connecting our local communities, state agencies, and the federal government. Every day, we are privileged to work with countless individuals whose unwavering dedication to bettering their communities allows us to fulfill our mission. Tonight, we are proud to recognize one of these people with our Community Planning Champion Award. This year's honoree is an indispensable partner who always is available to our staff, local governments, and our 106 utility districts in the Bluegrass Ad. She's also a true friend. Tonight, we would like to honor Debbie Landrum from the Kentucky Infrastructure Authority. Debbie is responsible for administering KIA's cleaner water program and many loan programs in our region. That responsibility is a very tall order in and of itself. But for us, Debbie has been so much more than just a contact who helps process paperwork. Over the past few years, our community planning department has seen several major staffing changes with four long-serving employees who combined have over 50 years of experience retiring or moving on to new opportunities. With this, those of us who are here are new to a lot of these KIA programs. Throughout this transition, we've learned the incredible complexities of these programs, and throughout that entire process, Debbie has always been there. She's been a constant source of support, taking calls and answering texts at all hours and making sure that our projects stayed on track. But what truly sets her apart is her willingness to go the extra mile for our communities. One example of this that really stood out to me was when she went above and beyond a couple of years ago up in Harrison County and for the city of Barrie. At the time, the city of Barrie was struggling with a sewer system that at the time we believed was on the verge of failure because of a leaking lagoon liner. And the city was racing against a very, very tight deadline to submit a CDBG application. Debbie, knowing the severity of the situation, volunteered to spend her own time up in Barrie going door to door with us to complete income surveys so that the city could qualify for this grant funding. Thankfully, we didn't have to do those surveys, so it wasn't necessary, but she still chose to dedicate her own time to helping us with this project. The fact that she was willing to do this shows her commitment to making sure that our communities are better. This is not just a job for Debbie. She truly cares, and I promise you, if there's ever a time that anyone needs help finding money, this is your person. So that's who Debbie is. She's someone our communities and our staff can always count on. She understands the importance of building strong relationships and working alongside us to ensure that our common goals are met. It's hard to overstate the importance of this partnership. Without Debbie and KIA, many of our water and wastewater projects would not have made it to the finish line. So tonight, on behalf of the Bluegrass Ad, it's my honor to present the 2025 Community Planning Champion Award to Debbie Landrum, a partner, a friend, and a champion for the communities of Central Kentucky. Congrats.
Well, I had everything planned in my head, but, you know, then Logan talked. So, guys, I'm just part of an amazing group of people at KIA. There's about 20 of us, and we all do our part. But listen, I'm going to tell you, tonight I brought my boss with me because I wanted to make sure that she was part of my win. And this is a KIA win tonight. We meet some amazing people along the way in my job, and I've made some very great friends. I've got one mayor that I talk to. I talk to her every other week, and we pray together as she battles cancer. I become part of your life, part of your journey. And so thank you, guys. My Bluegrass Boys, plus Grace. I can't say my Bluegrass Boys anymore. I have to say plus Grace. They're amazing. You know, I was telling someone earlier that when Karen Leverance left, I was really concerned. But listen, Bluegrass Ad knew what they were doing when they put these boys in here. They picked up the pieces. We haven't skipped a beat. And guys, I just try to think of it as it's my water. And listen, it is my water. Cynthiana, Kentucky, leading PFAS case in the state. And Mayor, we're going to fix that. We're going to fix that. So thank you for being my people, and I'll continue to serve you. Thank you.
Matt Montgomery has been a true driving force behind the Workforce Innovation Board since joining back in 2017. As a part of the executive committee, he has helped shape the board's direction and strengthen its impact across the region. Matt brings a wealth of experience from his background in building global shared services, and that expertise has shaped his approach to workforce and economic development. Over the years, he's taken several leadership roles, most recently chair of the Finance Committee, where he has championed transparency, accountability, and responsible stewardship of our resources. What stands out the most about Matt is his integrity and commitment to doing what's right. He is always focused on making sure our work remains ethical, effective, and responsive to the needs of employers and job seekers alike. I can honestly say that Matt's presence on our board has helped me grow into a stronger leader, and I'm truly grateful for the guidance and his support. Matt Montgomery, our workforce champion.
When they told me that this was coming, I was like, yeah, no. But then I accepted that this is a Best Supporting Actor award, not a... And these are the champions. I mean, you look at the David Dottlingers, the Tiffany Reeves, the Roland. I'm going to forget somebody, so I'm not going to even try to roll them all out. But, I mean, what we do here, I mean, over the last 9 years, we have helped hundreds of companies find employees that were going to be hard for them to find. Thousands of people that were being dislocated that hadn't worked on a resume in years, right? Training them how to do that, connecting them with new jobs. When we look at thousands of other youth at risk that we've given them a career path or helped them be inspired to do things that maybe they weren't on a college path but had something there. But in 9 years that I've been on this board, I mean, that's three presidential terms. That's three governor terms, multiple mayors, judges, congressmen, oh my, right? I mean, all of those changes, it's never been political because everything we're doing is the right thing. It's how do we increase workers in our space? How do we increase the tax base? How do we give people hope? How do we find jobs and get these people educated to get back into the workforce so that we're more interesting as a community for businesses to invest? All of those things that we do is the right thing. So this hasn't been really service. This has just been easy because our North Star is absolutely pointed in the right direction. But this is an award I take on behalf of Tiffany and the team, absolutely. So, but thank you very much.
On behalf of the entire Bluegrass Ad team, it's my honor and privilege to recognize Congressman Andy Barr and his entire team as our 2025 Legislative Champion Award recipient. Congressman Barr and his staff have been true partners to our local governments, advocating for practical solutions to problems facing our communities. Their accessibility and responsiveness have made a tangible difference, helping us navigate challenges and seize new opportunities for progress in Central Kentucky. Tonight, we proudly present Congressman Andy Barr and his staff with the 2025 Legislative Champion Award in grateful recognition of their leadership, service, and dedication to Central Kentucky.
Thank you, Chairman Mike Sanford, Executive Director David Duttlinger, and the entire team that supports the Bluegrass Area Development District. I'm truly honored to be named the 2025 Legislative Champion. This recognition is not about me. It's about what we've been able to accomplish together when federal, state, and local partners unite to deliver results for the Bluegrass. So here's some of what we've done together recently. In Madison County, we've worked with local partners to bring in a $4.7 million federal grant matched by the city and county to transform a facility into a substance abuse recovery center with up to 72 beds and dozens of good-paying jobs. In Powell County, we delivered $300,000 of federal funds for three quick attack fire trucks, giving first responders the tools they need to reach rural roads and protect lives and property. And in Jessamine County, we secured $4 million in federal funds to support development of the Jeannette Industrial Park. We've got more work to do, and my office is working hard with all of you to achieve the next big victories for our region. Each of the projects we fight together to deliver represents the mission that we all share, investing in jobs, infrastructure, public safety, and the future of Central Kentucky. So thank you again for this recognition. And thank you for everything you all do to partner with my team and me to deliver for our communities. I will continue working tirelessly to bring resources home, to strengthen our economy, and to ensure the Bluegrass remains the very best place to live, work, and raise a family. God bless you all. God bless the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and God bless the United States of America.
Okay, we are just almost out of here. Just like a couple minutes left and we will be done. The last order of business before we leave tonight is actually something that you all do, and that is accept the nominating committee's report and vote on that. But before we do that, we need to wrap up our awards tonight by recognizing our board chair, Mike Sanford. So, Mike, if you'd come up here, please. Mike is a Harrodsburg native who graduated from Mercer County High School in 1996. He went to EKU, where he graduated with a Bachelor's of Environmental Health Science in 2003 and then completed his MPA while working full-time in 2012. Mike and his wife, Jess, met at church in 2005 and will celebrate 20 years of marriage this month. They have one daughter, Emma, who's an avid cheerleader. Mike began his career in public service in the utility business in 2006, obtaining easements for a water project for Lake Village Water. He quickly obtained the position of executive director of Lake Village Water and oversaw the merger of Lake Village Water and the Mercer County Sanitation District. It's a job that has grown into a passion and a ministry for Mike. Judge Millward Dedman appointed Mike as a citizen member to the Bluegrass Ad in 2013 and asked him to serve on the executive committee that same year. For those of you who were around in 2013, you will remember what a tumultuous year that was for the Bluegrass Ad. But Mike's tenacity and his understanding of public administration helped him to see and understand all the good that the Bluegrass Ad represented. Mike does not accept membership to any organization by name alone, and was an active member of the Water Management Council from the very beginning. When he got the call to serve as the office of the executive committee, he was ringing the bell for the Salvation Army. Mike accepted this leadership role and leaned into the responsibilities that each office required, from secretary, treasurer, vice chair, and now chair. He is what I describe as a level 5 leader, consisting of the paradoxical qualities of being simultaneously ambitious while also remaining humble. Mike is personally humble in all that he does, but he is aggressively ambitious for the causes and the service of the organizations that he leads. Please join me in recognizing Mike Sanford for his service and leadership as the 2025 Bluegrass Ad Chair. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. People are standing here to look at you, and I'll just let you take the podium.
Good. Thank you, David. I appreciate this. This is so nice. I've loved my time at the ad, just the programs, the people serving communities. It's been a pleasure to serve, and of course an honor to serve past 4 years as an officer. Each position, there was something new to learn about the organization, and they all built, I think, the foundation for me to serve as chair, and it's been a fast year. It's been a great year, and again, it was an honor to serve, and thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Have a good night.
Right, I'm going to present our nominations for the officers and at-large members. But first, man, I am excited because we're all going to get a little shot of that alcohol from the Vatican, right? Matt? Okay. I guess since that comes from the Vatican, it's kind of like Holy Spirits here. So anyway, October 22nd. The nominating committee met, and we would like to present this slate of officers and at-large members. We would also entertain any nominations from the floor if there was one. We would like to recommend Judge Steve Hamilton to serve as our chair, Judge Trilly Bottom, vice chair, Mayor Joellen Reed as treasurer, and Mayor Bruce Fraley as secretary. We would also like to propose at-large members Grayson Evans from Boyle County, James Smith Harrison, and Tony Wilder from Boyle County. Are there any nominations from the floor? Do we have a motion to accept this slate of officers and at-large members? Motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, the line starts right over here for the spirits. Thank you.
That concludes our annual meeting for tonight. Kelly, is there anything else that we need to do? Any other instructions? Just go home safely, continue to do great work, and thank you all again for coming tonight. Have a great night.